1. I was still considering canceling it all as I entered through the building's gate and stepped towards the door. I took a couple of deep breaths and looked around for clues to help me decide whether I should go ahead with this craziness or not. I could hear my own heartbeat, which I thought was a bit weird, as I'd never noticed it before. Not like this, thumping in my ears like a distant drumbeat. There was no name on the door. Just a sticker of a dragonfly and her initials. It looked as if it were the door to a student's apartment or to the practice of some dodgy manicurist, certainly not a door to another state of consciousness. When Lauren, my editorial assistant, first suggested hypnotherapy, I laughed. Lauren is the spiritual type, taking 3 yoga classes a week and constantly talking about meditation, energies, and karma. It isn't that I don't believe in these things. In fact, I don't really know what I believe in. I just know that between my teenage kids and my day job and my attempts at finishing my never-ending novel, I hardly have time to explore all sorts of strange mind-body-spirit connections, or whatever they call them these days. But since Don left, I pretty much lost it in more than one way. I couldn't focus on the books piling up on my desk, silently filling me with guilt for letting them sit there for so long. I was supposed to be spending my days securing foreign rights for American books, mostly working with French language publishers, but I couldn't do my job properly. I suffered from sudden anxieties during the day, and at night I couldn't sleep. It's not that he broke my heart or anything. It's more like he somehow managed to crack the fragile confidence in humanity that I've managed to maintain over the 20 years of living in New York City. But I couldn't spend the entire day in front of that door with a stupid dragonfly sticker, so I decided to knock. If she turned out to be some kind of witch with missing front teeth and hair coming out of her ears, I could always make a run for it. A woman in her late 30s opened the door, and all her teeth were intact. In fact, she had a pleasant smile. "Come in," she said as she shook my hand, and then signaled towards a coat hanger by the door. As I took my coat off, I felt a knot of anxiety in my throat, but I just swallowed it. There was no way back now. Taking my coat off made me feel vulnerable, as if a dice had been thrown, a decision had been made, one I couldn't go back on anymore. I wasn't used to feeling vulnerable. It was a recent state of being that I still didn't wear well. "So, why are you here?" she asked. I was seated in front of her in a black leather armchair and noticed that both my hands were clenched into tight fists. I had to choose my words carefully because I didn't want to let the wrong ones out. Even though I didn't know her, even though she was supposed to be able to help me with my fears and my worries and my questions, still, I wanted to make a good impression. "I came because I can't sleep well," I said, "and I've kind of lost interest in things. I've been working on an historical novel for 3 years now, and it's not progressing. I also have some, I suppose they're called anxieties, about the future, also about the past." I stopped there. I didn't want to sound too neurotic.
"Have you gone through any major life changes recently?" she asked, noting down my words. She stopped writing and looked at me with gentle eyes. I then noticed that she was perhaps somewhat older than I initially thought. At least, her eyes seemed old. So then, I had to spill it all out. I told her how Don decided one day he'd had enough, and how I was initially relieved he left, because by then, I'd had enough too. We'd been at each other's throats for years, and now that the kids were a little older, there was no need to pretend any longer. But when he almost immediately moved in with some woman called Claudette, that's when the anxieties started. What if I had made the wrong choice? Was it too late to change it now?